We have to finish the mechota, right? I'm sorry. Let's finish the mechota quickly. Los Vashel Gediba Chalevimo. Who's reading? Ben? Okay. Last two paragraphs.
Los Vashel Gediba Chalevimo. In Chalevimo, 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 Ma emotion is necessary only dear that's there, after the vast of the Havah. I hope that the inner density only dear that's there, Dean Hushi, after the vast of the Havah.
Okay. So the Kavachomer is predicated upon an assumption that if you can't mix them in one context, if something that can be mixed in one context can't be mixed in another, then something that can't be mixed in the original context certainly can't be mixed in the second. Okay? So, all right, so let's just talk about Master Behema for one moment. What is the din of Master Behema? A little background here. Firstly, where would you want to find out anything you want to know about Master Behema?
Chumash.
You have one pasuk in Chumash. Two. What do the pasukim say? Quickly. Bechol masar bakar vatzom kol ha-sheyavar tachas ha-shevet ha-siri ha-kodesh la-shem lo yachlifenu lo yimir so to barab rabatov. And the next pasuk is the last one of Vayikra, okay? Kosai. Second and third last pasukim in Sefer Vayikra. Is that your Bar Mitzvah Parsha? Yeah, I think that came up recently somehow, a different verse that you knew. Okay, so anyway, that said, you take the tenth one, it says Bakar Vatzon. The Mishnah, you want to see an interesting... Now, so where would you find these dinim in the Mishnah? What?
Sorry.
Where would you find the halos of Master Behema in the Mishnah? Let me give you a hint. It's not a Maseches Master, so it's not a Maseches Master Sheni, and there is no Maseches Master Behema. What? Correct. It's the ninth parak of Bechoros is Master Behema. Fine. The Mishnah there has a very interesting formulation if you looked at it at the start. I didn't ask you to look specifically. But the Mishnah there starts with Master Behema Noheg, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Bechutz La'aretz. It has the exact same formulation in the Mishnayos and Chulin. And the Mishnah observes that it's Noheges only with, Behema. It's Noheges with Bakar, and it's Noheges with Shor. I don't remember the language Se and Eiz, but Shor is not Nichnas im Sev Eiz Lesaser. Whereas seven A's are nichnasim zem zelisaser, meaning that you can put all sheep go together, and all and bovine animals go together, but you can't mix the two of them. Which means that goats and sheep can be joined, and whatever the luck might be, you might have all sheep or all goats or some combination thereof when you take your maser. Which behemoths do you put in the deer? All the ones that were born that year. There is a din aser taser is called vasarecha hayotzei asadeh shana shana. The din is that when it comes to maser dagan tirish v'yitzar, you are not allowed to be ma'aser from produce of this year on last year or last year on this year. The Gemara says that applies to that applies to maser behema as well. That should inform your thinking when you read the Gemara because it creates some complications. The Gemara does assume it is possible for a sheep to give birth more than once in, or for a sheep to give birth in a year, and then for those sheep to give birth within the year. So it is conceivable, it is possible, not necessary, but it is possible that, and maybe even possible for one sheep to give birth twice in a year, two cycles. The gestational period is not so long, even though that's not normally what happens. Yeah, Shlomo?
Meaning, the fact that the gestational period is
less than
you need. That they can give birth.
I know, but that means they would have to go into heat and then start all over again within the course of time. It wouldn't be as difficult to imagine if you assume that, you know, they pulled the vlad away from it. If it gave birth right at the beginning of the year, al pi metzias, this would seem highly unusual simply because I think most of the time animals have, you know, one mating season in a year, follows the seasonal cycles. But theoretically, if you somehow suspend those, and it gives birth right at the beginning of the year, you can imagine it, you have enough time for the milk to dry up, but to stop, you know, taking care of the vlad and go into heat again and get pregnant again and have another vlad. And you could have two animals, even that weren't twins, be nechnasim ledir lesaser together. Avigo?
One of them had been born, say, right after the chatzeit and one of them right before.
That's for the example I gave, but that's not normally the way it works.
Why wouldn't that be the way it works?
Because animals don't.
Animals are not like people.
No, but let's say
need I say any more? What? I understand that, but what I'm telling you is, why do you think the cutoff is Rosh Chodesh Elul? Yeah, I thought the Gemara gives a reason. It tells you when most of the animals are born. Most of them are born by Chodesh Elul, I think. I think they're no live before. So, the bottom line is that, typically speaking, you don't expect that. Okay? Human beings do not have a mating season. That's just the way it is. Fine. Emmanuel. Just don't go there. Maybe you'll do that as your honors thesis for Yeshiva College. Okay. Anyway, it's fine. So now, in addition, the following din should be pointed out, though. If once you put if you have a group of sheep and you put them in the deer and you let every tenth one come out and you mark it with a red stick and now all of them have come out or down to your final less than 10, let's assume an exact number, everything that has passed through is now either Maser Behema or it's Pater for Maser Behema. I mean, it already it's like the Maser Behema is the Maser and what's left behind is like Hulin Misukanim. It's not Tevel anymore, so you can't put it into the deer again in order to be Ma'aser with it. So it means at the end of the year, if you're left with only 9 animals, and you can't take one of the animals that, let's say, already had been inside the deer, but wasn't selected as Ma'aser Behema, and now add it to the 9, so you have 10, and you can get 1 out of 10. You can't do that. It's already Pater. Now, there is no din of Tevel when it comes to Ma'aser Behema. There is a Gemara in Megillah where one of the Tanaim, Amoraim, says, you know, tasteily, you know, I deserve schar because I had the following chumrah, and one of them, I think it's, one of them is that he never ate from Maser Behema, he never ate from Behemos that were Tulim, that were Tevel, that hadn't had Maser Behema separated from him, but that's a chumrah, that's not a din.
What do you do
with the remainder that don't have 10? Nothing. What do we do bisman hazeh? If any of you own, anybody here have a farm? Okay, I didn't think so. If you had a farm, what would you do? What we do with Maser Behema? The answer is, since it's not Teva, we believe Shevi Al Tase Adiv, because if you have them pass through the opening of the deer and you mark the 10th one as Maser, it's now Kadshim. If it doesn't have a Mum, it's a potential Takala waiting to happen. Even if it had a Mum, it has to be dealt with properly. Therefore, our practice is not to separate Maser Behema Bisman Hazeh.
Wait, you don't do anything
What?
You could use all of them.
Correct. That's all.
Eretz Yisrael also?
Same thing, no difference. It's no Hag, it's Bein Baretz, Bein Bechutz Laretz. Okay, so now, with that said, right now, let's assume for the moment, what is Imo and Achosa? I mean, we can already ask the question. And if someone translates that literally, I'm going to smack them. Okay, what is, figuratively speaking, I can't reach, except for Chaim, and if you have Rabbi Kohn, like in Marash HaKolo or in NTA, well, none of you could have had him in NTA, but. What's that?
If you translate literally, then you're figuratively going to smack.
Ari? Yes.
Emo would be the same species, and Akosa would be different species. Different.
So one of the choices would not have been the instinctive choice. There's a reason for that. But one of the explanations that Rashi is going to quote is that it's referring to another species. Echoso Gedola, the big sister, is the cow, and the little sister is the sheep. It may not be any literal than the goat, but with respect to the cow, it's little. And so if you're going to label one as Gedola, one as Ketana. Now, is Echoso Gedola Nechneses, is Emo, in this calculation, is Emo Nechneses Emo Ladir Lehisaser? Yes, because why? They're both goats. Is Achoso Gedola Nechneses Imo L'Dir L'Saser? No. Why? Because Tzon and Bakar don't mix. Is Achoso Ketana Nechneses Imo L'Dir L'Saser?
Yes,
because Tzon mix. So if you read it that way, so what if this is the reading, what in fact is the purpose of the Mechbrais and the Mechilta? What is its goal? What is its interest, Jason?
Well, I was going to ask something.
Ari?
Figure out if
Basar B'Chalav applies to other species other than Gedi, which means, in effect, you're almost revisiting the issue of the first paragraph, you know, the long one with the nine opinions. That's, it's coming at it from a different angle, if that's so. The first paragraph is coming at it to explain the three repetitions in the Torah. This passage in the Mechilta is coming to explain how do you know it applies to other behemoths. Okay, so now, continue. So the Gemara says that, so the Gemara leaves the Kal V'Chomer intact. It leaves the Kal V'Chomer intact. Does the Bavli leave the Kal V'Chomer intact? No. What does the Bavli say? Kamalomar B'Chalevimo. Which would seem to be silly, because you just demonstrated through logic, so you don't need a pasuk. So that's what the Bavli is going to ask. What do you mean? But you just had a limud. Fine. But the Mechilta apparently thought that the Kal V'Chomer was a fine Kal V'Chomer and did not need a ribui from the pasuk. Next. Go ahead. So translate this with explanation. Ma b'makom shehitir pri and pri bish. I don't know if you did. You get this far in the Gemara? No, you don't have to. Someone, did you get this far in the Gemara? No. Did you get the? Fine. So you don't. Then you don't have to be far. You just have to read. Ellie, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. In other words. What? You want to explain? He's yielding. As a general rule, unless I'm asking you to play my role like Chaim, so you fill in admirably, not admirably filled in the other day. Just kidding, Chaim. Your obligation is to read. Translation and explanation are open, but you have right of first refusal. Ellie, what does it mean?
So pre is anything that is produced from the animal.
Okay,
so
which they come in two flavors.
That could be offspring, or it could be in this context
milk. Okay, so if we aser pre and pre b'shchita, if we mater pre and pre b'shchita, what does that mean?
That means that two offspring of the same mother can be
slaughtered on Wednesday. The Torah says b'sharo seo soves beno lo sishchatu biyom echad. Chazal understand it refers to mother and vlados, fathers and machlokas, but certainly two vlados of the same mother may be shechted on the same day. So it does not, it's matir pre and pre b'shchita, and yet it is osar pre and pre, osar pre im ha'aim, it still osars the offspring with the mother, I mean you can't shecht osov yespino. So kan she'osar pre and pre b'bishul, what does that mean? And this is the tricky part. Chalav and offspring of one animal cannot be cooked together. Why do we know that? Obviously, because lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. You're cooking the kid of the mother in the milk of the mother. So pre and pre is osar b'bishul, so eino din she'nesar pre im ha'aim. So now we should certainly osar pre with a aim. So pre and aim doesn't mean what pre and aim meant in the previous sentence. The pre and aim in the first part meant the vlad with the mother. Here it means the milk with the mother. In other words, you can't cook a mother in its own milk. Okay, I don't know what is more seemingly cruel, cooking a vlad in its mother's milk or cooking the mother in its own milk. I don't know. What? Pre and aim, when we say in the second clause, pre and aim means the mother in the mother's own milk. Because the milk is the offspring of the mother. So that's pre im ha'aim.
And pre im
is two vlados. Pre im ha'aim is the vlad and the mother. And then in the second one, pre im pre is a vlad with the milk.
Right, no, but the first one, why? What's usher with two siblings?
What's usher with two. Mutter with two siblings.
Oh, right.
You're allowed to shech.
Oh, so pre im pre is the.
Okay. So basically, that's the Kal V'Chomer they wanted to make. Now, what is the? How does the Mechilta reject this Kal V'Chomer? Stern. I'm sorry, this is not grade school. I reverted there. Wadler, you were distracting him. How does the Mechilta refute it? No, you don't. The answer is it doesn't, you dolt. Okay, Avigil, your question. I asked that question because the Bavli refutes it.
He answered it for you.
What?
Why is there? I don't understand how the Kal V'Chomer works. Because the Kal V'Chomer works.
Leave him alone. This is a base medrash, not a library. You want to say Talmud Lomar? You want to be very clever, except for that in Saviad Kaufman, it's Talmud Lomar. Yes. There's sometimes in the Beis Medrash they do know how to pronounce language. Yes, Avi Gil, I'm sorry. Pre milk, the mother in its own milk, not in the milk of its mother.
Oh, so you're pre refers to the milk.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. In other words, in the first clause, all the payers refer to Vlados, in both pre and pre and pre and aim. In the second one, pre and pre is
wait,
Vlad.
In the first
what's that?
The
in the first sentence, when we say, yeah. Ima,
right.
You know, ma, pre is not Nesar Beshchita, but pre is Nesar. Is Nesar Beshchita Ma'im. So when it comes to Basa Bachalav, pre is Nesar and pre, so up until that point, every pre in the first half, every pre referred to a vlad, a creature. In the second half, when we say, so if by bishul, pre and pre is usser, that means milk with a vlad, then pre ma'im is definitely usser. That's milk with the mother. Milk of the mother with the mother. A cow produces milk while it's alive, as Rashi points out, because if it's dead, it's not milk. What?
Isn't that our whole question?
Yeah, that's how we learn. We want to know, how do you know you're not allowed to cook a cow in its own milk? That means a vlad of the cow with milk, ain odin shenes are the mother itself with its own milk, okay? And obviously, again, as Rashi points out, that's milk that comes out in its lifetime. Why? Because otherwise, it's chalev shchuta, which is only aser midrabanan. Okay, fine. Next step. Ben, go ahead. Chalev. Right, so how do you know you're not allowed to mix, right? Chalev izim birachelim,
right?
Goat's milk with sheep. So what does this mean? I don't know, what does this mean?
So where you can have two species mate together, you still, or two of the same species mate together.
Right.
So you can't have, you still can't cook them in the mother's milk.
Right.
So if you, in a place where you can't have them mate together, like two different species.
Right, in other words, if you had an A's, had a Vlad, you can't cross it with a Rachel. Because that's kilayim. How do you know you're not allowed to cross it? Behem tacha lo sarbia kilayim. So then, ain odin shenesa priyama aim, that you can't cross Rachel with goat's milk. Fine. And that would work for everything else. Okay. Yeah.
First of all, what is the yeser of Rabia? What's the action? It's more than just curiosity.
I'll tell you when you're older.
I mean, just leaving them in the same
Alec,
room?
Alec, he's married.
Alec, how do you end this up in these situations?
So the answer is that literally the Gemara speaks about to violate the Yisod HaRaisa, Yemachis Kimachol B'Shvil Feres, which means like something into a tube. In other words, they actually misay biyadayim, meaning if the animals aren't interested. Putting them in the same room, certainly you wouldn't get malchus for. I don't know if it's in the Siddur I said all.
Besides, what's the logic of this Kal Vachomer? The things should have no. The two things have no relationship to each other.
No. What? Firstly, if you see, you may not have gotten it yet. If you get there in the Bavli, you can see.
They shoot it down.
Well, they don't have this last Kal Vachomer. They don't have. But you can see what's going on generally is an attempt to show that if two substances cannot mix in one area, certainly they can't mix in another. That seems to be the general trend. So the various things that come up are crossbreeding, putting them in the deer lezasa. There's no iser in putting them in there. You just can't do masa that way. Bishul, the one and the other. I don't know if there were any other things. It's primarily harba'a, which is kilayim, and maser.
So the svara is mixing. That's the
correct. The closest analog to basar b'chalav is kilayim. It's not the same, but it has a lot of similarities. Moshe.
I mean, it seems like it's also a little bit beyond. And yet that's sort of the running theme, that different areas where they can mix, but also there seems to be seems like they're clearly trying to show that Basar Bechal has to apply across the board here.
Yeah, I understand that, but the question is, that's fine. What Ezra's just asking, what is the limud? Now, continue, Ben. Okay, so apparently this is a claim that I don't know what biology there is to it. Maybe it's not always true. Maybe it was true in Eretz Yisrael at a certain period of time, that apparently goats have a lot of milk. There is, can anyone bring me, outside of the fact that it says, Los Vashel Gediba Chalev Imo, can anyone bring me a proof to this? Does anybody have a Bar Ilan? Yes. How do you know? Doesn't say what he took it from. No, v'chalev sown. That could be anything. I agree, but it's not specifically A's as opposed to Kesa. One second. Does anyone know where that pasuk is? V'day chalev izim l'lachmacha u'l'lachem beisecha. Where it's in Mishlei. I know. I want to know where in Mishlei it is. Thanks. I'm already looking in Mishlei. Okay. Anyway, there is a pasuk that specifically mentions chalev izim, which would at least possibly support the notion of the mechilta, even though it's not quoted there.
It doesn't mean that they produce more milk. It just means that you have more of them producing.
I thought it was
a larger percentage of their milk.
No. It means the mother is producing more milk. It means a goat produces more milk than a sheep does.
Than
a cow, yes.
No,
Haniel
is not just saying that there's a lot more goats.
Shahachalav meruba bi'imo? Jason? Jason?
We call milk. Are you saying male goats produce milk? What would be? How could there be a larger percentage of goats producing milk than cows?
No, guy, let's.
50%.
After shear at 2:45, you can go 15 rounds. In the meantime, Jason.
Are we calling it the lion because there's no better word? Or are we actually equating it to something like a donkey?
No, I'm just describing the analog, that's all. I'm not saying it's Kelayim. Basar Bechal is its own thing. It's not Kelayim.
I mean, I'm just very surprised that when it brings up Kelayim as the Chal V'Chomer, that it doesn't do like a back Chal V'Chomer, and you know, like or refute that by saying that by Kelayim you can eat the offspring of that, whereas by Basar Bechal
Kelayim Akerim you can't.
Klei Akerim
is Aser Bahana.
Well, here it's specifically referring to goats and sheep.
No, I'm just saying, Kelayim is not a... Oh, you mean it's mutter to get hanah from the offspring,
you can
yes.
You can eat that offspring. It's just, you can't
okay.
It. It's surprising that it doesn't bring
but
it up.
But generally, there are other pirachos that the Bavli is going to have and the Hilta doesn't even bother with. Right. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Ben. Finish it off. Rabbi Omer.
Rabbi Omer, Nehemar Kani Mo, Nehemar Halan, Halan, Meshor, Keres, Ve'ez, Ve'ez,
okay. So, what is the other pasuk of Emo? That only says Oso Vespino. I know it doesn't say Emo there because the whole question is why does it say it in the masculine? Oso Vespino. Even though the way Be'ikar did we paskin, it's only the mother and not the father. Sharo Chesev Oez Ki Valeid Vahaya Shivas Yamim Tachas Emo. Umiyom Hashmini Vahala Yeratzel Korban Yishel Hashem. So that's Emo. It's Sharo Chesev Oez. And therefore he says Sharo Chesev Oez here as well. Okay. Yeah, there's a hand up. Yes.
Just going back to the Chalav Meruba by the
yeah.
Is that parallel for the Nisan Halacha of Dibra Kasa Behova, or is that?
Yes, exactly. That's a Dibra Kasa, but that's exactly.
Why is that necessarily the case? Can it just be that one scientific and one Dibra Kasa Behova is what people actually do?
No, but that. It's not a scientific state. In other words, I would argue the following. It might be that the way they raise goats or whatever, let's say compared to cattle for their purposes and so on, it might have been, and as all the statement might be, is that in the time of Tanakh, and presumably in the time of Chazal as well, that they took much more milk from goats and sheep than they did from cows. They didn't use cows for goats and sheep. My guess would be, my uneducated guess would be, that they would likely have they would more likely not have used cows for milking because they use cows for plowing, right? And therefore, you know, you don't want to. If you have a cow that's milking and you want to get to produce a lot of milk, you're probably going to be draining some of its energies, you know, from actually doing work for you, as opposed to Ezim and Ksavim, where you're not getting that. Chaim, you're skeptical, but
I mean, for oxen, they usually use male bovine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true, but
I mean, once again, I have to look at the reality.
We don't need to have this discussion.
End of discussion. End of discussion. The pasuk says, "V'dei chalev izim lalach mechal lechem meisecha v'chayim lenarosecha." Last pasuk in Perachav Zayin. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, move on. Lo sevashel gedi v'chalev imo.
You would have thought that for sure you can't do basar b'chalav even with shari surim.
You think it's shari surim as opposed to cooking nevela, as opposed to cooking treifa? No, because I don't think. In other words, I think it means if you're not allowed to cook basar and chalav together, how could you be? Should be also cooked nevela? Should be also to cook chazir on our own, right? Because stam, if there's an iser bishul by two things that are mutter in the first place, just combining them, certainly things that are also already you shouldn't be allowed to cook on their own, I think. So the answer is, it's obviously not a very good kavachom. The Talmud Lomar, basar b'chalav. Okay, the truth is, see, if you think like the Bavli, there's a much more mistaber teretz. Jason said it, I think. Somebody said it here. It's not a math game. In other words, it's adarabba hi goreim, right? The fact that they're mutter together, the Torah gives you a special issue of combining them. One something is asur already. In fact, I have to see if I can find this. I think the Achronim assume this explicitly. I don't think there's a Peferish Gemara. I think once you cook basar b'chalav and it's neser midaraisis basar b'chalav, I do not believe there's any iser in taking a piece of meat that has chalav absorbed in it and is already neser and cooking it again. One of the things that I want to point out about being very careful about is if you have, let's say, basar, which is kavush in chalav. So basar, which is pickled, or, you know, it soaks in chalav, the assumption is after 24 hours, by then it absorbs flavor. But even though normally by hilchos taroves and transfer of tam, we assume kavush kimavushal, by basar b'chalav, kavush kamavushal is only asur midrabbanan. I mean, it's not asur to do, it's just asur to eat. And therefore, some of the achronim point that you have to be careful because if something was only neser midrabbanan, if you turn around and cook it now, in other words, you take that piece of meat, which has chalav absorbed in it, tam of chalav, and now you cook it, you're violating isur bishul, daraisa, on basar b'chalav. And I think the assumption is that once it's already, if you cook it already, it's already neser. If you just take that piece of basar b'chalav, there's no isur in cooking it itself. You can't take that basar and put it into new milk. That's a different issue. Because the basar b'chalav is still basar. It's both basar and it's chalav together. So if you were to cook it in something else, it would now be basar b'chalav, let's say. But if you just take it alone and you cook it, you know, in a pot or something like that, that's not basar b'chalav anymore. It's no iser bishul. Why would you do it? I don't know. Because it's asur b'chalav. But let's say you're just doing it because, I don't know, because you're a kimis asik b'yamu, whatever it is. Fine. So now the mechilta continues. Ein li ela.
Isn't this like a strange rejection of a kavuchomer, though? Because usually you could reject a kavuchomer by saying, you would have thought one thing, but you know, the Torah went out of its way to teach you something else.
To repeat, in other words, this is los sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. In other words, los sevashel gedi b'chalev imo is the second. The repetition of the pasuk is to tell you it's only gedi b'chalev imo. It's not that you, in other words, and not other isurim.
Wasn't the fact that it says it more than once?
Now, the first time it has to tell you the din, and then maybe you could learn from it. The fact that it repeats the din, that you may not cook it, means only this. It's like shnei ksuma ban kechad almost. I mean, the fact that it repeats it, it means dafka this and nothing else.
Okay.
Okay? So why would you think that it's not doesn't apply by Mekdashim. I know why we would think it only applies by Mekdashim, or only Bisman Shabesa Mekdashkayim. The other way is why. In other words, from the Hekesh should be Kurim and Basar B'chalav. I would say, if I were to learn something like that, I would say it applies only by Basar B'chalav, only by Mikdash, or one or the two, or both, or something like that.
We had to have a Lima to tell us that wasn't the
same stuff. So in other words, therefore we learn from the Vela, where it's not in that context, or something like that. It's a strange Havamina. So what is the Nechol to say? So maybe that's the answer. In other words, yeah, why would you think otherwise? And they say, lo, amamris b'chulin. Right. So the truth is, it's a very lousy pircha on the assumption. Why?
Because birds may very well only be driving on.
No. That's a shita kitzoni. Kitzoni.
What, the birds are only
driving on? That ain't shita la'of min haTorah, yeah.
No, I'm saying basar b'chalav.
We're not talking about basar b'chalav of birds. We're talking about...
It's
showing you that kachim is more lenient.
No, but you can very well say that hekdesh, that kachim, right, that this statement they're making here is only talking about birds that are...
I know, but all it's showing you is that kachim can be more lenient than hulim. So the fact that it's aser by hulim doesn't mean it's automatically aser by kachim. What's the din of a bird you do malika by? What is malika? I assume everybody knows. But explain, what is malika? I demonstrate. No, I'm just kidding. You go to the back of the neck. You know, the Gemara says every kol davar adamara biatzmo chutz mishchita. I don't know if there's another thing. You're not supposed to pretend show shchita on yourself. I don't know about malika. Okay, but Kohanim had very. It was one of the three most difficult avodos in the mikdash. Malika, chafina, and kmitza. Kohen would have a long thumbnail. He would drive through the back of the bird's neck. You broke the mafrekes before you got to the simanim. And an animal, when you do shchita that way, it's an avela, because once you break the mafrekes, it's considered dead, and therefore the shchita is psula. Same thing is true by an of chulin. If you do malika on an of chulin, it's an avela. By kachim, it's exeris hakasav umalakes rosho. And therefore, what you see from this is that malika, which renders it an avela by chulin, is perfectly okay by kachim. What's the problem with this logic, of course? And therefore what? Basa b'chalav might be Aser by chulin, but mutar by kachim. What's the flaw in the logic?
It's aser to do shchita by kachim.
Correct. The Mishnah in chulin in the first parak says, you know, kasher b'malika pasul b'shchita. Kasher b'malika pasul b'shchita. Although that's actually not it's not talking about kachim versus chulin. It's talking about where you do it on the neck. But it's true also in terms of chulin and kachim. Malika on chulin is pasul. Shchita on kachim is also psula. Okay, it's not if you learn the Mishnayos in the seventh parak in Zvachim, it maybe there's a way to resuscitate the Mechilta's logic. But anyway, the Mechilta says, I need a pasuk. And what is the pasuk? What is the pasuk? Okay, so the hekesh between Bikurim and Basar B'chalav teaches you, and particularly the last words, Tavi Beis Hashem. So in other words, they're reading it almost as if you put the Esnach in a different place. It's Reishis Bikurei Ad Masacha Tavi. Beis Hashem Elokecha Lo Svashel Gedibach Alevi Mo. Fine. Emmanuel.
Wait, when you said before, when we said,
it's a svara. Why would you think that if it applies by chulin, it doesn't apply by kachim?
I thought you were saying this textually, it doesn't make sense. I thought you were saying that textually, you would know what this is. It doesn't seem like it's textually, it seems like it's the svara. At the end, it does bring a text.
No, I understand. No, I said, but why would you think it doesn't apply by kachim?
Because the pasuk is talking about chulin.
Well, if you start out only with the pasuk in Re'eh.
Right, no.
And the pasuk's not explicit that way. Okay, anyway.
No, but you're saying mitzad svara, not mitzad.
I think that's what the Mechil.
They're saying mitzad svara, not mitzad.
They're saying mitzad svara.
Right. I thought you were saying.
No, I think even mitzad svara, mehechatese, that it should be aser b'chulin and mutter b'mikdashim. Why would you think it's mutter b'hektesh? Just because you makdish the basar, all of a sudden it's mutter to have basar b'chalaf? Why?
I mean, would you still not see this as an issue, though, that even disregarding the fact that that they could always say that shchita, you can't do shchita on a hekdesh bird, on a cartoon bird. Can't you still see a problem in that the fact that they're choosing as an example birds that
no.
are cartoon?
I don't think so. All they're trying to demonstrate is that Homer sometimes Homer b'chulin mi b'kachim. That's all they want to demonstrate.
You can still say, okay, they could admit, okay, fine, by birds, and therefore there is no Isser of Asar B'chalav by birds.
The point is they're showing you that there are things by which we can be more machmir by chulin than we are by kachim, so therefore altisma that we might be more machmir basar b'chalav by chulin than we are by kachim. That's all.
No, but by behema, though, is there anything that they could show that we might be more...
But it has nothing to do with... This is not about behema versus oaf. This is about chulin versus hekdesh. That's all. Your claim is... that if it's aser by chulin, there's no way in the world that it should be mutter by mukdashim. Where would you find that hekdesh is ever kal, more kal than chulin? And the answer is, it is more kal than chulin by malika. That's all. I don't like it because malika fundamentally is the substitution by hekdesh for shchita. That's all. Okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Daf kuf yudalad amin aleph. Then are you still willing to continue? Tana Rabbanan. The first Tana Rabbanan. All right, so you can read the first Brisa. Tana Rabbanan. Seven lines up from when before they get wide.
Seven lines up?
Approximately. Okay, so what does the Gemara want to know? What does the Tana of the Brisa want to know? So there's a basic machlokas that we've shown in here, but you only need to see Rashi. Because what does it seem like the Tana of the Brisa is asking? Emmanuel?
How do you know that continuous milk of some other animal would be healthy?
Maybe. So the Brisa is asking, how do you know that... Okay, let's say that way. How do you know that Gedi cannot be cooked in the milk of a Parah or the milk of a Rachel? Now... And presumably here's the more significant question. Isn't it obvious in terms? Isn't it obvious if Gedi includes Rachel and Para, as we saw on the top of Kufyud Gimel Amid Beis? So then, what's the question? So there are two possibilities here. So Rashi says what? We'll read Rashi inside. But what does Rashi contend? What does Rashi say? We're not working with that drasha. So right now, all we know is that Gedi b'chalev imo is aser. Once we want to know b'chalev par b'chalev rachel, presumably that means, obviously, also basar par and basar rachel. In other words, even rachel b'chalev imo, para b'chalev imo. You know, we don't know of that drasha that the Gemara opened with immediately following the Mishnah. If so, so that's how Rashi gets around this problem. Well, we know par v'rachel already. We know par v'rachel. The answer is we don't know par v'rachel.
So Tosus writes here
Bechinam Dachak Kubakuntris, because Tosus says that Lo Itzdrichle Tosus Diva Maschel Bachale Par V'Rachel Minay. In the third Tosus says Lo Itzdrichle El Larabos B'She'en Amino Kigon Para Bachale Gedi O Gedi Bachale Para Avo Para Bachale Vatzma Hadarshina El Komakom Shneimer Gedi Afilu Para V'Rachel B'Mashma Bechinam Dachak Kubakuntris. But Rashi was bothered by the question. Rashi thought that if once you know that par of a rachel are included gedi b'chalev imo, there's no reason to assume it has to stay within the species. That's the approach that Rashi takes. So if you take a look at Rashi, I will read Rashi. So let's see the end of the Gemara, and then I'm going to read Rashi. Go ahead. So we had a kal v'chomer, didn't we? The kal v'chomer was if par of a rachel that are kelayim with gedi. If Gedim Imo is not Kilayim and still you can't cook Gedi B'chalev Imo, certainly Par of Arachel, which is Kilayim and Gedi, you can't cook Gedi B'chalev Para Arachel and all the permutations therein. So then the Gemara turns around and says, Talmud Lomar, which is what the Bavli is going to wonder, is strange. You just proved it through a Kal v'chomer. What do you need a pasuk for? So the Gemara says, you were maybe it. They already brought the din based upon a svara or based upon a Kal v'chomer. Me'ikra d'dina pircha. There's a kasha on the beginning of the Kal v'chomer. A din is a Kal v'chomer. And what's the kasha? Yeah, you're right that Imo is Mutter Imo Baharba, but Imo has a different chumra that Parah v'Rachel don't. And that is, you're not allowed to shecht them on the same day, but you can shecht a Gedi with a Parah and Rachel on the same day. Now, the truth be told, if you asked me, I would say it's a little bit, I don't know, lame. Why?
But the rejection, you mean?
Yes, in other words, yeah, why, Shalom?
Because you could shecht it with another Eids on the same day.
You could shecht them another Eids on the same day. The reason why you can always shecht it with a Rachel and a Parah on the same day is not a halachic reason. It's just because, generally speaking, cows give birth to calves, and goats and sheep give birth to, well, is the female sheep. Goats give birth to kids, and sheep give birth to baby sheep.
Lambs.
Okay, there you go. Okay, sorry, Ari. I apologize for that. What's that? No, you was a female sheep. You was opposed to a ram, I think. So the bottom line is, it's not that in principle there's no Osovi Espino with a Rachel and a Gedi, or a Parah and a Gedi. It's just that Parahs don't generally give birth to Gedis. Lu Yitzuyar, I don't know, there's a discussion in the Mishnayos and Bechoros, what happens if you have Parah ben Sus, right? Now, don't ask me how this happens.
Is that translated literally?
A horse has an offspring that looks like a cow. It has the simonim of a cow and so on. So let's assume for the moment, so there's a discussion. That's where the whole sugya, by the way, you should be aware of Hayotzim and Atame Tame. Even though it has the right simonim, I think we say it's still no good. Because Hayotzim and Atame Tame, which is another way of saying we follow the species, not a mutant.
And it's good.
What's that?
And it's good.
Don't ask me. So the question is, supposing you had two kosher animals, it's not a child of kosher. What if a cow gave birth to a sheep? Okay, you can imagine those crazy cloning scientists in Scotland or South Korea, actually were true, and they managed to get a cow to give birth to a sheep. So what would the din be in Osovi Espino? I don't know, but I can, if it weren't through artificial means, if it somehow were through natural means, however that could be. No, it wasn't different species. Don't ask. I don't know what happens next. Hold off on that question. No, it's not a crazy question. It's a very important question. Although, I'm not going to answer that because I don't know the answer and it doesn't happen. The real question is, what happens when you have let's say you have a mule. Mule's a cross between a horse and a donkey.
It doesn't matter. They're sterile.
Yeah, they're sterile.
Firstly, even if they are sterile, you can still have an Isser Harba. It may not produce any offspring, number one. Number two, I think there have been rare cases where mules are not sterile. So, but.
And it's still Kilayim to
work
with. It's
the same rare case when a cow goes for a sheep.
No, but you could have Harba even without that. You don't need, doesn't have to need to produce anything. So, the percha as to why you need a pasuk, and the percha in the Kal v'chomer is not the most compelling percha, but that's what the Gemara says here.
Where does the pasuk actually teach you that?
What? Osov Espino?
We're trying to prove that Pasuk v'chal applies even interspecies, right?
Right. And so you need Bachalev Imo to teach you that, the extra, one of the extra ones.
But doesn't that really just limit it again?
No, because as Rashi points out, when your reading of the verse is limited, the repetition by definition must be to be marbe.
How would you limit it more then?
What's that?
Meaning, what's the plus one?
Once the word gedi, so you want to argue, why not take the extra one, b'chalev imo? So I would say the following. No, you start out with gedi means a certain thing, whatever it means. And you're not allowed to cook it b'chalev imo, which you start out by assuming means only its own mother's milk, or at the very least, its own species milk. There's nothing really to reduce it from there. That's the sort of the minimum possible reading. A maximal possible reading, chalev imo, just means mother's milk, not its mother's milk. And that's why if you start out by limiting the reading to just that species, the natural step is to expand. I can't tell your question's a fair question, because if you're really clever, I could have said like this. You started out assuming Chalevi Mo meant the species milk, and then the extra pasuk is Mamait, everything but its own mother's milk. Right? I can't explain everything about, you know, Chazal's drashas and Troy's the darshan, Emmanuel. Because it's not that you can't shecht a cow. It's not that it's mutter to shecht a cow and a sheep on the same day because there's no osov espino. It's mutter to shecht a cow and a sheep on the same day because they're not osov espino. That's why.
Right.
Not because the iser doesn't apply. It's mutter to shecht two different gedis on the same day. If it's not mother and son. So the reason why it's usher, if you lu yitzur, you could have a cow and a sheep, and each one be considered a cow and a sheep, but one was the usher and the other, it would be usher to shecht on the same day, or might be.
Right.
It's just that it doesn't happen in nature that way. So how is that a raya that somehow parva rachel are more lenient than gidi? Because gidi have osa espino, but parva rachel you don't. Yeah, you don't have gidi osa espino by parva rachel because you don't have osa espino. It's not that the Isser doesn't apply in principle. It doesn't apply in practice.
So you don't have a para that has a child?
What?
You don't have a para that has a child?
That's a sheep? No.
No, wait, that's a para.
What?
There you go.
That's not the case.
A para does not have a sheep as a child.
No, it hasn't. Whatever it has.
An agel.
And then there's then why should the Hidias have
there is Isser of Osos Spino, but the point is that you don't have an Isser of Osos Spino between sheep and cow.
Right.
But that's not because the Isser doesn't apply conceptually, it's because it doesn't apply physically.
But that is the kula that they're claiming is a kula.
That's no kula if you ask me. But okay, fine, so you agree with the Gemara. Ari?
No, meaning sort of along with what Ezra is saying, the point is that even though you can say that this is a case that's limited to practice, not the principle, there still is...
But if you look at Maser, you look at Harba, those are things that you can do and are prohibited. Osav Espino, it's not that you're allowed to do it by Parva Rachel, it's that you physically can't do it.
No.
Is there an Isser Harba? Let me ask you a question. If you took up a bull and you castrated it, okay, completely. They don't castrate it completely, right? They just remove the testicles usually.
Yeah,
but let's say you did. Let's say you did. Are you going to argue to me here that now this bull should be mutter to cook in milk? You know why? Because it's not usher baharba. Why? Because it can't.
But the point is that
with a female sheep, no.
The point of all these kalvachomers is to establish that...
Would you let him talk, please?
The point of all these kalvachomers is to establish that if one category... If you're dealing with two categories, and if one category has an extra degree of separation, then you can make a kalvachomer. So this is...
Ari, I understand that, but the degree of separation that doesn't exist by Osav Espino, but not by Parva Rachel, is not because it's a degree of separation. It's incidental. As opposed to Masa or Harba, which you could do, and it is or it isn't prohibited.
So what? The point is...
Okay.
I'll
tell you. Someone should... I am articulating a principle that the Gemara and Midrash Halacha will say in many contexts. I just didn't put the words in it. What am I articulating this principle? Ein donin efshar misha efshar. That's what I'm really asking. I'm sorry, I should have formulated it that way. You're going to be done, the Osav Espino to make para more prohibited within intraspecies, based upon the fact that Osav Espino doesn't apply with Gi and Parva Rachel. That's Efshar. Ain't done an Efshar, Misha Efshar.
No, but why don't you just...
Jason?
Are we arguing about whether or not we can make the telephone? Is that what he was...
He's saying you can make the kalvachomer because even though physically Osav Espino doesn't apply to Gidi and Para, Gidi and Rachel, still because the Isser doesn't exist there, therefore it's a good pirach on the kalvachomer. And I'm saying the kalvachomer is a good kalvachomer. Osav Espino is not a raya because you just don't. It's efshar to have Osav Espino in the first place by Par of A's, Rach of A's. Avigil? Emmanuel?
No, but
what's that, Emmanuel?
Why is it efshar?
Because a para doesn't have a rachel as a vlad, so you never come into the category of osav espino.
But just like chalid no might mean something that's more expensive, so osav espino could have meant something more expensive. Could it mean
you can't trust any two animals on the same day?
It could mean maybe some baby animal with some grown-up animal that's able to have children with something that's just born.
Ari, you want to come? Okay, fine. So let's. I want to read Rashi briefly. Okay, some people said they had a little trouble with Rashi. Rashi b'chalevimo. So firstly, Tama Lomar Mikrasheni. It's the second pasuk. And as Rashi's going to say, one chalevimo is legufo. The second chalevimo is what the Tana of this Bryce is learning from. The miyate l'rabuye kol chalei behema tahora. The high Tana l'matzrich le l'chidishmuel. What is Shmuel does three things. Chalev Zachar, Chalev Shchuta, and Chalev Behema Tamea. So Rashi says like this. This Tana doesn't need for any of Shmuel's. He doesn't need Chalev Yimo for any of them. Why? The Chalev Zachar, Chalev Shchuta, Chalev Tamea, Mechad Kra, De Lugufei Nafkei. They learn it from the one pasuk that you need just to teach you the din. Why? The Ha Imo Ksiv, it says, Chalev Yimo, Velo Shchuta, Velo Zachar. Imo, by definition, means alive. And not a male, because females are not males. It's a general principle. I know that you wouldn't believe that looking around this institution, but still. And then velo tmeya the hagidiksiv, and it can't be chalev imo can't be behemah tmeya because we're talking about a gedi. And while Rashi is going to say gedi is not all kosher animals, it's just a behemah, just a gedi uve tahora mishtoi. It's dealing with. It's dealing with gedi, a behema tahora, kedamar and lahotzi es atmeya, v'al korchech imo nami tahora, the imo tmeya lohava ihu tohar. Why not? It's not just a physical statement; it's a halachic statement because a yotzei min atame tame. Therefore, once the Torah says lo svashel gedi b'chalev imo, if it only said it once, it means that zachar is excluded, shchuta is excluded, and tmeya is excluded. Hilkach, Rashi says, lahachi lo asa. You don't need it for those. Now he adds a detail because Rashi says, ugedi mashma le gedi davka. This Tana understands gedi means davka gedi. Ubasar gedi, ubasar chaya, ushar behemos, migdi yaseir anafki li sura. You have to learn that out from extra psukim. De e svira le gedi, hakoba mashma. Afilu egel utle lamale lerebuye chale par v'rachel v'ha'imoksiv. Rashi said that if you knew, so Rashi says that basar chaya. I'm not sure about shar behemos. Why he says that? Because shar behemos are learned from chalei imo, right? But chaya certainly is learned from an extra gedi. Why? Because Rashi says. You don't learn, if you knew behema, if you assume that the word gedi already meant all behemos, then why, even egel tle, why would you need to be marbe chalev para rochel? If it says los vashel gedi b'chalev imo, if gedi means para, you can't cook a para in its mother's milk. If it means tle, you can't cook a tle in its mother's milk. It somehow seems not to be olal das Rashi, as Tosa says, that the chiddush of this Tana is cross species. That olal adas. Ulakaman Rashi says the mashma lan yitur de gedig di Rabbi Akiva. This was Ben your question. Lema ute chayev of Rabbi Akiva darshan's gedi as a miut. Hani mina leman the mashma le gedi vafila egel utle. Asi kray yisera lema ute. Then you have extra psukim. You have a choice to be mamayit. Aval leman the mashma le gedi davka kray yisera le rabuye asi. If it's only mashma gedi, then the extra psukim are lerabos. You don't need any mutim. Now Rashi, a line I'm not sure of. Echad lemute tmeya. So I think Rashi would, I think he would say, that one gedi is lemute. No, did I misread it? Oh no, I'm sorry. Lemute chaya. I don't think shar behemos. I think it's besar chaya. One lemute behema tmeya. So what do we need three gedis? So a gedi is mashma, just gedi. One, I guess, is legufe. One is to exclude tmeya, and one is to include chaya. Ulashlil lo itzdrich kra. For the shlil, you don't need a pasuk. The mashma usa yalaf leke the ashkachana gabi Rabbi Akiva. So it sounds like Rashi says the following. You have Gedi alone is mashma only Gedi. You have one Gedi is l'rabos chaya, one Gedi l'ma'it l'ma'ute behema t'meya. Then you have, so far we've explained, chalev imo, one is l'gufe, which memela happens to teach you that there's no chalev shchuta, no din by shchuta, no din by zachar, no din by Tameya. Why should you need one? Well, you don't need for Tameya, because he says Gedi is Lema'ute Behema Tameya. Why don't you need? Because Imo is alive. Chalev Imo means it's mother's milk. It means it's nursing from its mother. That's the pashtus. And Gedi, so again, one Gedi is Legufo, one Gedi is Lema'ute Rabos Chaya, and one is Lema'ute Behema Tameya. Of Chalev Imo, one is Legufe. One is for this drasha. We don't know what the third Chalev Imo is right now, Moshe.
Does Rashi assume that it's
water to
cook the
No. Rashi just assumes what? Ari, what do you think Rashi assumes?
About.
How does Rashi know cross species? According to Rashi? It has to teach you that chalev and para are including gedi. So memela, the answer is memela. Once you refer Rashi, once you say gedi means any of these animals, it's not that the Torah says don't cook a shor in its mother's milk, don't cook a kevet in its mother's milk, don't cook an ace in its mother's milk. No, it just says don't cook offspring in mother's milk. I'll even call it that way. The assumption is once you learn anything that's in gedi can't be cooked with anything, any kind of chalev of that of any of those animals. Gedi can't be cooked by chalev gedi. What does gedi mean? Gedi can mean gedi, gedi can mean para, gedi can mean rachel.
Right, but if you learn, it sounds like if you're learning it that way, it should be species match.
No, so Rashi already made this point earlier. Rashi, you may differ with Rashi, but Rashi said explicitly, the sphere le gedi akob mashma filo ego tla lameli le rabuye chela par v'rachel ha'imoksiv. That's his point. He thinks that once Gedi has an expansive meaning, Chalev Imo has an expansive meaning, but there's nothing that tells you it has to be in the same species. Gedi means Shor Chesev Ways, Chalev Imo means Shor Chesev Ways. That's what Rashi is. You can disagree with Rashi if you want.
No,
Tosus does. Tosus says you need a special pasuk for a cross species.
No, but it sounds like what Rashi is saying is, depending on how you read Rashi, I think it's ambiguous.
I don't think it's ambiguous at all. Otherwise, Rashi could have turned around and could. If the explicit language of the Braisa, the pashtus in the language of the Braisa, is cooking a gedi in the milk of a para and the milk of a tlet. That's the way the Braisa presents. Rashi does not contradict that. And therefore, when Rashi says that if gedi meant para and rachel as well, you wouldn't need a pasta chalev imo. That means Rashi's assuming that once you, whatever's in gedi, it's all one big bag.
But then you have chalev imo to contend. In other words, does chalev imo apply
imo
to...
Imo is whatever? Of anything that's in gedi. That's what Rashi. That's how Rashi. You don't have to agree with Rashi. That's how Rashi says. What Rashi says.
Imo is of anything that's in Gedi and any permutation thereof.
Correct. That's what Rashi is assuming. I think it's very clear. Okay, so now that's Braisa number one. Braisa number two is where things get a little messy. We've seen Braisa number two a little bit already of Nechota. And what happens here? Someone take over. Thank you, Ben. Who would like to take over? You, Ben. Want to read? No? Me, Ben LeBen. Okay, Jason, go ahead. Tanya Idach. Third wide line. I'm not going to explore, and that you should look on your own what may ikra dedina means. I'm not interested in Rashi has an explanation about that, but it just means from the starting point of the Kal V'chomer. I'm not going to deal with that now. Okay, go ahead. So to punch us again in the stomach, Talmud Lomar. Okay, so here's the problem. So firstly, what is Achoso Gedola? Right, you should. The question obviously is you don't need a Talmud Lomar. You learned it through a some type of a Kal V'chomer. Same question keeps recurring. which by the way makes one suspicious, of course, given that the Mechilta does not have any of the Talmud Lomars. Right? The Mechilta learns it straight from the Kal v'Chomer and lets it rest. You wonder what's going on in the Bavli. They have these braces, but they have a complete, you know, a different version, always with the punctuation at the end or something. I don't know. So, what is Alchos Gedola? Lefi Pshutan Shel Dvarim.
No, it's of its own species. That's just
a sister. Earlier, it's older sister. Now, why do Rishonim? Why would any Rishon, in his right mind, not drunk on the afternoon of Purim, having had 3 bottles of wine and 4 beers and 3 shots of whiskey, think to read Ahoso as para? It's like me walking in and I say, I'd like to introduce you to your sister. I don't know, you have a sister? No. AJ, I'd like to introduce you to your long lost sister, and I bring a chimpanzee into the room. Your long lost pet, your long lost friend. Okay, yeah, the genetic distance probably between human and chimpanzee may be further than goat and sheep. But still, nonetheless, why would anybody in their right or wrong mind think that Achoso means para Rachel? Stern. This is Tanya Idach. Next.
Because it's a Tanya Idach. Meaning it may be saying the same thing, but in a different
way. Maybe, okay.
Number two, and this is...
I don't think, by the way, that's how... See, normally you expect to say V'tana Maisi Le'mehacha or something like that. Okay, number two. The real reason?
With Maser.
Okay. The problem is with Maser. Maser could drive you up a wall. Because the Mishnah is going to say like... The Bryce is going to say the following. A Gedi is Nechneses im Imo Ledir Lehisaser. But it is not Nechneses im Achoso HaGedola. But it is Nechneses im Achoso Ketana. Now you go figure this one. It is not likely, it is true, it is true. It is highly unlikely that a behema, a gedi, will be nechneses im achoso gedola, nechnas im achoso gedola di elisase. Why? Assuming, of course, that they're not twins. What? Well, so first of all, there is a comment, by the way, in Bechoros Daf Chaf, I think the Rashi maybe says, somebody says that, yeah, investigate this too, well, the Gedoyim more frequently have multiple births.
Yeah, you could see this tree. A lot of animals
have
multiple births.
I know, I understand that. I know that.
Time to go to the petting zoo.
No, I was actually going to ask a different question, which is, how many udders does a cow have normally? Was it only one, or are there multiple teats?
Oh, there's more than one.
Yeah. I know, that's what I thought. How many?
I don't know.
One udder.
I mean, teats. How many teats are there?
I think it's 8 or 10.
That many?
It's
okay.
It's more than four.
Anyway,
goats I know usually have 2.
No, but it doesn't matter. It does indicate in nature what you would expect the maximum to be, and I will tell you, someone made a comment in with respect to the multiple births that human beings were not meant to have more than twins. You just look at basic anatomy, and it's true. And what is the frequency of triplets in nature without any intervention?
1 in 9,000.
What's that? and there, God allowed them to nurse honey and milk from the rock. So, you know, Vayeni Kehu Devash Misela or something like that. That's very nice. But bottom line is, I don't know how. I don't think most of the time cows do not have multiple births. I think that's still the rarity. I don't know about sheep and goats. There's a claim is made that goats have it more frequently. Bottom line, Achoso Gedola, if it means a twin older sister, and it's only older by virtue of the fact that it came out first, so why is it not Nichnasim Imo Mladir Lesaser? So the answer is, why would Achoso Gedola. What?
Cows have 4 teats, each with 1 mammary gland and an udder. Extra teats occur often. Supernumerary.
Okay, so I thought 4 was the number there, so I had the impression.
For cows?
For cows.
Same thing about the birth rate?
Guys, settle down. Settle down, please. So, if Achoso, why would Achoso Gedola, however, typically not be Nichnasimo Dir Lesaser? Because a year older. But if that's the case, Imo is certainly not going to be Nichnas Dir Lesaser. You come up with a strange Metzias in which Emo was born right at the beginning of the year and somehow matured fast enough, reproduced, and had its Vlad within the year. You know, right after Rosh Chodesh El, it's born, right before next Rosh Chodesh El has a Vlad. If that's the case, why couldn't the Gemara have envisioned the scenario? It's much easier to envision a scenario. So Gedola is Nechmas and Dir. That's what's driving the Mishnah crazy. The reason why they opt for such a strange Peirush is because if you could envision Imo Nechnas Imo Ledir Lisasa, you could certainly envision Achoso Gedola. And why is Achoso Katana not Nechmas and Dir Lisaser? It's a Pele. What? I'm sorry?
The Achoso Katana can be.
Yeah.
Which is so why it's impossible. The Achoso Gedola means literally the older sister, because otherwise the Achoso Katana's Achoso Gedola would be the one that's going in with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough. So that just compounds the problem. Okay, and therefore, it's for this great difficulty that many Rishonim opt for choice two, which is to say, Paravaracha, which at first glance seems very strange, but after further consideration, if you read the Shachlan Tayyu the Gemara, it makes a lot of sense. Ezra?
Just a couple of questions just about Maaser in this regard.
It's probably not the only problem. There's another problem in the continuation of the Shach Levitaria. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that a common phrase that's used in the Holocaust?
Maser Behema, yes.
And that means what's the halakha? You have to count up all the animals you had that year and give a tenth of them?
You can take the new animals that were born that year, you put them in a deer. A deer is a, I don't know what language, it's a Mishnaic Hebrew, what? I know what it is. I don't know what its origin. It's not biblical.
Is that where Dira comes from? The modern word Dira?
I don't think so. I don't think that's biblical Hebrew. Dor. Gur is. So either way, so you take all the newborn sheep, let's say, of this year, born between Rosh Chodesh, it's Machlokas HaTanaim and the first Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, and you put them in, what's the cutoff date? Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Put them in a pen, and then you start to get them to come out one by one, and that's what you do. And you mark every tenth one. Okay?
That's why Rashi's the discussion of how long the gestation period was so relevant?
Yes, because they have to be born within the same year in order to be nichnas in the same deer, because otherwise it's Mishana al Chaverta.
And this is the only time Achoto is used. Is this the only time Achoto is used to indicate interspecies, if that's the real shot?
I don't know. I don't know of any other examples offhand, but I'm not a bucky in all of Shas to know. It strikes me as a very odd reading. It's a very it's difficult. Chaim?
Is there any noted irony in the fact that they're using as a source to teach you that it doesn't only apply to Halavimo, the words Halavimo? In other words, it just keeps on trying
to... It's a reboy, Chaim. If it's extra, it includes something more. Another aim. No, that's not the means by which we're going. The first one is not a miut. It's just a way you read the pasuk. And I was like, "Gedi b'chalei b'mo,"
means
limiting. What?
It's still limiting.
It's not. No, it's not limiting. It is limited. There's a difference, right? In other words, if I say, in other words, the question is, if I say that blue shirts shouldn't be worn in the sun. Is the blue a mute, or is this simply? And it depends on the context. It would depend on the sentence that came before it. I might put it that way. Is blue a mute, or is this just a definition? And then perhaps you might argue, maybe it's not just blue shirts, maybe it's red shirts too, and green shirts and so on. So in other words, that's the difference between something that is limited and something that is limiting. Right? If the question is what kind of shirt should be worn in the sun, blue shirts, that's limiting. Right. If someone said, my, what's that? Well, that limits the shirts. But you could come up with a sentence in which blue shirts is not meant to exclude red shirts or green shirts and so on. So it's hard to tell. The Torah says, "Don't cook a gedi b'chalei imo." Gedi on its own just means a gedi. Is that meant to exclude other animals or something? Ari.
This may be crazy, but I remember.
Run this by Steiner. It would be I find it difficult. What you would have to be asserting is that an echo, is that an echo of this is somehow being preserved in rabbinic literature of a very, very, very old time. I'll only give you an completely unrelated example, but where you can see, it's a significant example in the history of halacha, and you can see the literary echoes of a shita that's not mentioned in Chazal. HaSholeach es ha-be'era b'yad cheresh ote v'katan. What does that mean? If you send a fire in the hands of a cheresh ote v'katan. Okay, and it's the dinam of Eish. Very nice. However, that formulation reflects another halachic shita, which is unknown to us from Chazal. It is only partially hinted to in the fragment Targumim on Ki yaver ish sadeh ocherem v'shilach es biro uvier b'steh acher. The Sri Deyesh, personally one of my heroes, stood on his head to deny that there ever was such a shita that read the pasuk as talking about ish as opposed to talking about maver or whatever exactly it is, until they found Targum Neofiti, which was, he might not have lived to see it. I mean, it was discovered before he was nifter, but with only a few years, and it might not have been uncovered. And Neofiti was explicit. He used the word, there was just no way of getting around it. He used Yokdun Benura or something like that. It was very, very clear that there was a tradition, a halachic tradition, a halachic tradition in Eretz Yisrael that read that pasuk as speaking about fire. The expression in the Mishnah, HaSholeach es ha-be'ira b'yad cheresh ote v'katan, remember, be'iro there is written with a hey, the archaic spelling, not a vav. HaSholeach es ha-be'ira is almost certainly preserving that particular reading of the pasuk, right? V'shilach es biro, HaSholeach es ha-be'ira. And in the Mishnah, it's talking about fire. To say that Parver Achosok Dol Achosok Ketana would suggest that somehow Parver Rachel, you know, somehow preserve that ancient meaning, because Akkadian was a for all intents and purposes, a dead language by the time of the Brisa. So that's an interesting question. So if you,
so I don't know, maybe too close.
It might be. Steiner? You have an interview. Ask him. Ask Steiner that question. It's a very interesting suggestion. Okay. Yeah, was there a question there? Okay. All right. So I'm not... Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Can we say, I'm not sure to mention it, if it's a paternal sister, then it makes
I'm sorry?
If it's a paternal sister, half-sister, then it can make much more sense if the mother reproduces at a very young age. So let's say the paternal half-sister is older, then the paternal half-sister can be of any age, so it could be much older than the
same
mother.
Yeah, but it could also be the same age.
Then saying maybe in this case, then the Gemara...
But why would the Gemara assume that Achosa Gedola, yes, Achosa Ketana, Achosa Gedola, no, Achosa Ketana, yes?
I just want to make create a scenario. It's forcing to get a scenario.
No, that you can create a scenario, I understand, but why do you assume that... But Emo, you could also easily create a scenario by which it's not Nechnesis Ladir Lisaser. A normal case!
They want to undo the Kabbalah Homer, so...
But you can't undo that by picking and choosing in your cases. You have to be consistent in your logical application.
That's what we did for pre.
No, but saying any kind of chomer, you can say the one thing is chomer, one thing is, and then the other thing is chomer.
You can't say one is chomer, and based upon picking and choosing one specific case.
But don't we do that with all, let's say, with chomets and dumb and chelas?
No.
See, chomets is chorek, it's not the only chayv and pesach.
Not once you've identified another aspect in which it might be kal, then you reject the limud. Uh-huh. Right? In other words, yes, Pesach is that, but if Yesh Heter Li Suro, for example, let's pretend that, then you would say it's not necessarily Chamor.
So why don't we go on and on, think of every Chumr and Kula for Chamek, and every Chumr and Kula for Dom, and every Chumr and Kula for Kalim, instead of only mentioning one Chumr and one Kula.
Well, the reason why to mention, well, they would typically mention, no, you only have to be Doche, well, you mention the Chumra, then you doche with one kula to show it's not really chomer, and then that's enough, because if you put multiple things together, you get minyanam mishnei k'suhim.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to stop. Tomorrow's Thursday, so tomorrow will be halacha, obviously in your day, it's halacha, and regular halacha. We're going to finish Pei Zayin and hopefully do Pei Ches and Pei Tes relatively quickly. One of the things, in response to a couple of comments that made to me recently, not today, I don't want to suppress questions, but I want to suppress a little bit of wasting time. So I do occasionally throw in a little bit of sides, and sometimes even occasionally a joke, funny or not, because a little bit of lightness. But I want to sort of try to damp down some of the tangents, especially when guys get into machlokas. I would like to cover ground. Discussions are interesting. Some of them belong in the shiurim, some of them belong only in the base medrash. So if I sort of try to clamp down, please don't take it personally. I'm just trying to change a little bit of direction. Okay. All right. So we'll daven minchah now. We have the full Shemoneh Esrei. We have plenty of time. Ben, please get someone up. We will start in one.